the heart of assurance is this. Assurance is really the comfort and the peace and the joy of knowing that Jesus Christ is yours and that you are His forever.
Welcome to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. And Colin, I'm glad we're going to be talking about this topic of assurance, because this topic, assurance, is the number one question that we get here at Open the Bible.
Yeah, that's fascinating. And it's not surprising, I think, because there are many folk who come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is, they're confident that Jesus has the ability to save His own people.
Yeah.
But the question is, am I one of them?
Sure.
You know, Jesus is the good shepherd. That I can believe. Am I one of His sheep? And that's the difference between faith and assurance. You see, faith says Jesus is the good shepherd. Assurance says, yes, and I am one of His sheep. Well, it's a marvelous thing if you have not only faith, but assurance, because there's a great peace. There's great joy.
Yeah.
We're not saved by assurance, but our joy sure increases with our assurance. So we're going to look today at how your assurance can increase, how you can grow in confidence. And Hebrews actually lays out some very practical ways in which a Christian who is plagued with doubt may be able to grow in the confidence that you really belong to the Lord Jesus Christ and that you're actually His.
Well, we're going to look at this from the book of Hebrews. We're in chapter 6 today, so if you can, grab a Bible and join us there as we begin this message entitled Doubting. Here is Pastor Colin.
Remember that Hebrews is addressed to three distinct audiences. We met first the character that I'm describing as drifting, has not really grasped the basic principles of the Word of God and needs to know why he needs Jesus. Then last night we looked at the second character addressed in Hebrews in chapter 6, defiant, who resists Jesus, and that awful phrase that is used, that she crucifies the Son of God again. And Hebrews says that it is impossible to restore her to repentance. And we saw last night that the point that is being made here in these difficult verses in Hebrews in chapter 6 is actually a very simple one. It is impossible to go east while you are still running west. If you want to go east, you need to stop running west, and then it will be possible for you to go east. But as long as you're running west, it's not possible to go east. And in the same way, it is impossible to be restored while a person is running away from Jesus Christ. It just can't happen, because Jesus Christ is the only one who can restore you. So by definition, restoration becomes possible when a person stops running away from Jesus. Restoration, forgiveness, peace, and joy are available to all, but they are available to all in Jesus Christ and cannot be found without Him. So none of us has the ability to restore ourselves. Only Christ can restore, so stop defying Him. There is always grace in and through our Lord Jesus Christ for all who will come to Him, no matter how defiant a person has been or for how long. But grace is found in Jesus and in Jesus alone. Now, tonight we turn a corner from these first two characters. Drifting really needs to be challenged. Defiant really needs to be warned. And tonight we're going to meet a third character, doubting, who really, really needs to be encouraged. That's where we're going tonight. Now, I think that some of you are going to identify with this third character, doubting. Doubting, let me introduce him, grew up also in church and professed faith early in life. He loves Jesus Christ and has a great desire to serve Him. But he feels that he falls a long way short. If that's what you feel, then you're immediately connected to this character. His friends, Doubting's friends, all seem to him to be more gifted than he is, more disciplined than he is, and more godly than he is as well. And when Doubting looks at his own life, he wonders why he has not made greater progress. His prayers seem terribly feeble. His grasp of Scripture seems to be quite limited. He wishes that he could be more effective in evangelism, but he's actually quite shy. He doesn't find it easy to speak to others about the gospel. He wishes he had greater faith, but he lives with an awful lot of anxiety. And sometimes he therefore wonders, is he really a Christian? And his own sense of insecurity is made worse by the fact that he does know some people who once professed faith and then have drifted away or even denied the faith or become defiant. And so sometimes he scratches his head and says, well, am I drifting or am I defiant? Now, I want you to see straight away this evening that doubting and drifting are very different indeed. Drifting, remember, thinks of himself as a good person. He hasn't really grasped why he needs Jesus. Doubting, on the other hand, knows that he is a sinner. And in fact, that painful reality presses in on doubting's mind and conscience just about every day. Another difference is that while drifting questions God, what doubting really does is to question himself. Doubting knows and believes that Jesus is the Savior. He believes that he would be saved if he really belonged to him. But that's the question for doubting. Am I really his? Is my faith genuine? These are the questions to which doubting cannot find a settled answer. And I want you to see as well, because this is important, that doubting and defiant are in a very different position as well. Defiant, remember, wants nothing to do with God. He is, as it were, holding up the straight arm towards Jesus Christ, the straight arm of resistance. But doubting's not there. Doubting wishes to be closer to the Lord, wants to be a better Christian, and fears that he may actually just be a big disappointment in the eyes of God. So let me give you a quick summary. So we got the profile of doubting clear in our mind. Doubting knows that he is a sinner, so that's very different from drifting. Wants to be closer to God, which is exactly the opposite of defiant, who wants to go the other way. But doubting fears that he may not be a true Christian. Am I the real deal? Now, with that profile, I want to encourage from the Bible, from Hebrews in chapter 6 tonight, the person who doubts, the person who battles with fear, the person who sometimes looks at others who seem to be making more progress and says, well, am I really a genuine Christian at all? This session is especially for you. Now, doubting has faith, but does not have assurance. That's at the heart of understanding this character who is addressed in Hebrews and chapter 6. And the heart of assurance is this. Assurance is really the comfort and the peace and the joy of knowing that Jesus Christ is yours and that you are his forever. And notice that Hebrews speaks of this in chapter 6 and verse 11. We desire each one of you to show the same earnestness to have what? The full assurance of hope until the end. We want you, the writer to the Hebrews says, to have this full assurance of hope until the end. We want you to have it. Now, here are four observations from that simple statement. The first is that assurance is possible. God wants you to have the full assurance of hope. God wants you to have a joyful confidence and expectation of all that is yours in Jesus Christ. Second, assurance is possible now. See, some Christians have figured that since perseverance is the evidence that faith is genuine, that one would therefore have to wait until the end of one's life to find out if one really is a true Christian or not. But notice that that is not what is said here. Hebrews speaks of an assurance, not an assurance that you enjoy at the end, but an assurance that you enjoy until the end. In other words, a confidence that Christ is yours and you are his, that you can enjoy throughout your Christian life. That's what we want you to have, is what the writer to Hebrews is saying. Third observation, Christians have different degrees of assurance. Notice that he says we desire. So it's something that's not yet the case, but this is what we want, that each one of you will have this. Very clearly, that indicates that at least at that point, some of the Hebrew believers did not yet have it, or that they had it in differing degrees. And so some Christians do enjoy greater assurance than others. And therefore, by definition, this is an area in which each and every one of us in chapel here tonight can grow. Fourthly, good news. Believers who lack assurance still belong to Jesus Christ. Now, this is where the turn in Hebrews is really, really important. What has the writer done? He's challenged the drifter. He's warned the defiant. But now the writer to the Hebrews turns to those who lack assurance, and there's a very different tone. It's not challenge, it's not warning, it's encouragement. Look at verse 9. Though we speak in this way, that's the way that we've been speaking over these last two sessions in the verses we've covered, yet in your case, beloved, we feel sure of better things. That's better things than drifting and better things than defiant, things that belong to salvation. In other words, drifting and defiant were in great spiritual danger, but doubting is safe despite his or her many fears. In the case of doubting, the writer to the Hebrews is saying, we're sure of better things, things that belong to salvation. Now, what this is making very clear to us is that it is possible then to have faith without assurance, and if you are doubting, it will really help you to understand and grasp this important distinction. Let me put it to you like this. Faith is knowing that Jesus saves. Assurance is knowing that Jesus has saved you. That's the distinction. Faith says Jesus is the good shepherd. Assurance says I am one of his sheep. Now, obviously, these are closely related, but it should be clear to all of us that they are not the same thing. Doubting can say, I believe that Christ is the good shepherd, and if I really belonged to him, I know that I would thereby be safe forever. But the problem that doubting faces is a doubt and a questioning in regards to him or herself. Am I really one of Christ's sheep? He or she believes that Christ is the Savior, but doubts him or herself.
So, if you are doubting, is there good news? And if so, what is it? Well, we're going to find out as we return to the message in just a moment, so hope you'll stay with us. Our message is from a larger series called Faith That Lasts, and if you ever miss a broadcast in the series, you can listen online. Come to our website, openthebible.org. You can stream the program or download an MP3 for free. You can also listen through the Open the Bible app. You'll find that for free at your app store. It's a great way to listen to Pastor Colin's teaching on demand. And in addition to this daily radio program, both on the app and online, you're going to find our weekend broadcast, our daily devotional that you can both read and listen to, and much, much more. So again, get the app at your app store or come to our website, openthebible.org. But whether you listen to Open the Bible online, on the radio, through the app, or you've connected with us in any other way, we're glad that you're here. I want to let you know that Open the Bible is able to do what we do because of your prayerful and financial support. When we say we're a listener-supported ministry, that's exactly what it sounds like. We do depend on your generosity to bring you Pastor Colin's teaching each day. To give a gift, you can visit our website, openthebible.org, or call 1-877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365, or again, the website is openthebible.org. If you did join us a little late, we're in the book of Hebrews, chapter 6, as we continue our message, Doubting. Here's Pastor Colin.
The good news is that people who look to Jesus Christ with faith but lack assurance will be saved. Doubting may be surprised to find himself in heaven, but he will be there. He will be there alongside brothers and sisters who enjoyed a much greater degree of assurance throughout their lives. Let me try and illustrate the point this way. A friend of mine by the name of Charles Price tells this story about the first time he ever flew on an aeroplane. And as he boarded the plane, he found himself seated in the middle seat of three. And next to the window sat an old lady who looked really nervous. And on the aisle side, there was a business person who looked like he had taken 1,000 flights before. So the story rolls on. As the plane took off, businessman takes out his newspaper. Charles, in his first flight, just holds on a little tentatively to the armrests. The lady reaches for the barf bag. Lunch is served. The businessman eats the whole lot. Charles eats half of his. The old lady leaves her entirely untouched. Now, I know this is sounding like the Goldilocks story, but here's the point. All three of the passengers arrived in the same place at the same time. They were all equally safe, but they had very different experiences on the journey. That's the distinction. Now, this simple little story illustrates, I think, the difference between faith and assurance. Faith is like getting into the plane. Faith is what gets you in Christ. Assurance is enjoying the journey. Faith joins you to Jesus, and in Christ, you will arrive safely in heaven, no matter how tentative and nervous you are along the way. Your salvation does not rest on the degree of peace and joy that you experience during your Christian life. You are justified by faith, not by assurance. But the degree of assurance that you have will make a very big difference indeed to your experience of the Christian life. And so the writer to Hebrews says, what we really desire is that you should have the full assurance of hope, because that's going to be a great blessing. It's going to be a great joy to you throughout your Christian life. So two questions that I want to address today. The first with some simple observations and the second directly out of these verses from Hebrews. First question, why do some people struggle with doubt and fear more than others? Second question, if you are doubting, how can you grow in assurance? Now, first then, why is it that some people struggle with doubt and with various fears in the Christian life more than others? Why is it that the degree of assurance that people experience, that Christians experience, varies significantly? And there are a number of factors, and I think you may find it helpful just to give them some consideration. The first is that your temperament will in some degree likely affect your experience of assurance. Some people find it very hard to be sure about anything. And if that is your nature, then it should not surprise you that you find it difficult to be sure in regards to your salvation, and that you have many questions about yourself, and that you find yourself doubting. When I have an opportunity to speak to a believer who doubts, I sometimes just ask them about major decisions they have made. So, for example, if they're married, I'll ask them, how sure were they about making that decision? And often what I'll find is that the person will say, you know, actually I struggled to get to a settled decision over that for quite a long time indeed. How sure were you about coming to Taylor? How long did it take you to get to a settled decision in that regard? How sure are you right now about the career that you should pursue? I mean, you're here to prepare for something. A key part of these years is discovering what it is that you are preparing for. Now, if doubting shows up in other areas of your life, please then don't be too surprised if it shows up in relation to your walk with God. Remind yourself very simply that this is an area of vulnerability for you, and then thank God that your salvation rests on the strength of your Savior and not on the strength of your assurance. And then, secondly, how you came to faith may affect your experience in regards to assurance. Some people And some among us here tonight will have a very clear, marked, and decisive conversion. You know where you were, when it was that you came to faith in Jesus, and there was a marked difference between the person you were before and the person you have become since your coming to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But for others of us, and this would be true also in the experience of many, your story is much more gradual. God formed faith in you over a period of time. And you can't pinpoint a decisive moment. And sometimes that bothers you. It makes you wonder, well, now, am I the real deal or is there actually something missing for me? Now, if that's your position, then it's very important for you to remember that your simple and very gradual conversion is a miracle of grace. By nature, you were dead towards God. That's Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. And if God had not raised you to spiritual life, you would never have believed in him at all. By nature, your heart was rebellious. And if Christ had not made you gradually his own, if he had not done this work of grace in your life that he's done, who knows where you would have been by now and what you would have done by now. Saul of Tarsus had a dramatic conversion on the Damascus Road. Of Lydia in the New Testament, we simply read, "The Lord opened her heart." These two experiences were radically different, but the miracle was exactly the same. So thank God for what he has done in your life and resist the temptation to compare your story with the more dramatic experiences that others of your brothers and sisters may have had.
You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith and a message called Doubting, really about how we can have assurance of our salvation, how we can have assurance and fulfillment in a life of Jesus Christ. Well, next time we're going to talk about how there is a life that we can pursue and what that looks like. So I hope you make it a point to tune in. If you ever miss a broadcast, you can always come and listen online. Our website is openthebible.org. You can stream the program or download an MP3 for free. Again, that's at openthebible.org. Another way to listen is to get the Open the Bible app. You'll find that for free at your app store. It's listening on demand, a great way to stay connected to Pastor Colin's teaching on the go. Or you can order a copy of this entire series on CD. It's called Faith That Lasts. Ask about that when you call us at 1-877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365. Or you'll find ordering information online at openthebible.org. Well, I love reading, but admittedly, I don't have a lot of time to read. So when I'm in the car, I listen to a lot of audiobooks. I listen to a lot of podcasts, and maybe that's you. You resonate and identify with that. If that's the case, we're excited about a brand new podcast we want you to check out. It's called Hike Through the Bible.
Yeah, and the Hike Through the Bible podcast will take you on a journey through the entire Bible story, giving you the option of listening or watching rather than reading. And in each episode, I'll read a chapter of my book, Hike Through the Bible, and then I'll discuss it with some friends. I hope you'll join me in hiking through the Bible. You'll grow in your faith, you'll deepen your grasp of Scripture, and you'll come to love Jesus more. It's not too late to get started. You can subscribe to the Hike Through the Bible podcast for free wherever you get your podcasts, and you'll find more information at openthebible.org/hike. That's openthebible.org/hike.
Well, thank you, Colin. I do hope that you'll take that Hike Through the Bible with Pastor Colin. Certainly look forward to doing that together. Again, if you want more information, openthebible.org/hike. For Pastor Colin Smith, I'm Steve Hiller. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Open the Bible.
At Open the Bible, we're grateful for like-minded organizations committed to sharing the gospel around the world. And to that end, I'd like to commend the work of Global Fingerprints. You know, in the book of James, God calls us to help orphans in their distress. That's a clear command, but it's not always clear how we should obey it. And this is where Global Fingerprints comes in. Through Global Fingerprints, you can sponsor a vulnerable child to help meet their physical needs and ensure they hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to commend Global Fingerprints to you. They're focused on equipping the local church to care for children, and where there is no church, they help to plant one. If you'd like to help a vulnerable child, you can find more information on Global Fingerprints at our website, openthebible.org/GF. That's openthebible.org/GF.